The Kinship of Catholics and Jews is a program sponsored by the Institute of Judeo-Christian Studies, Seton Hall University. I'm Father Lawrence Frizzell, director of the Institute, moderator of this program. With me today is Rabbi Asher Finkel, my long-time colleague in the Department of Jewish Christian Studies. So I welcome you, Rabbi Finkel.
I'm glad to be here.
Today we wish to discuss the great festival in the spring, the Feast of Passover in the Jewish tradition, which celebrates the miraculous rescue of the people of Israel from their sad situation of being slaves in Egypt. Now, what's the significance of this feast, let's say, in sort of an introductory way, Rabbi?
It has double meaning. First, the physical reality of human life was, as my colleague said, they were in slavery, as they were slaves, and they were in slavery, and they were freeing themselves from this physical torment and total the destruction of family life. But the other side is connected with the spiritual life, that once they left Egypt, they saw the event not as a human event that produces freedom. The freedom was given by a tremendous force beyond human life, God Himself. He offers you freedom, and He brought you out from Egypt by certain plagues that were in nature that affected the Egyptian life, but more so, He was able to produce an event of freeing the person from slavery and introduced to the power of a unique reality in human life, the power of God's presence. And that's what they enjoyed upon leaving Egypt this part time of the year. So we also like to participate and enjoy the event of freedom unto God. And this is how it's celebrated by the Jewish people for centuries, even though there were many times in their history they were put into slavery. From the time of the destruction of the Second Temple and on, they were in difficult situation of life under forces of humanity in different nations that they lived away from the state of Israel. And this is known in the historical situation of the Mediterranean kingdoms as well as European kingdoms, that the Jews did not live free in freedom, and therefore their freedom was maintained symbolically for themselves when they were in such a dire situation. Every Passover night they would sit in their homes and celebrate the sense of freedom that it's coming from God to them. And they were looking forward in history to be totally free. Today, surely they have a state, and today they have a freedom in that state of Israel where their ancestors lived, and they are free people. So they recognize the freedom also by the way we were celebrating it in exile throughout the centuries, and then we returned back to the land of Israel. So it shows reading the Haggadah is not reading just a story in the past. It's a story in the present moment, at which gives you hope and great feeling that you are under God, protected from all the different circumstances of exile. And therefore, every human being should be aware that the celebration of his life or her life as free people is a unique gift that God gave us, and we should recognize it as the Jewish people definitely recognize, because they went through from slavery into freedom, and today they enjoy even a state called Israel.
Now, this concept of freedom, of course, is often given only a partial definition in some people's minds. They think, well, free means I can do what I want. I don't have to fear police investigation or something. In certain countries, there's been oppression. But in the biblical sense, the idea of freedom is to have the capacity and the possibility, in terms of social situation, to imitate God.
Very good.
The challenge is really a very positive one, not just I can do what I like as long as I don't hurt anybody else. That's a rather cheap definition of freedom, I would say.
That's true.
And this is what we have to try to instill in people, is that human beings all have a capacity but also a tremendous responsibility to evoke the best in our response to the gifts of God, and then to make use of these gifts in the sense of service to the living God and service to our neighbor.
This is very true, because we are created as imago Dei, in the image of God. And in the image of God, it means that we are free to determine our life and to feel total control in what we are doing, as our actions and also our ideology produces. Clearly, that gives you the freedom, and then surely if you live in a free state where people don't put any power over you, that's also understood as freedom. But the key is what my colleague is saying, that the key is each individual should know his life as is free. It's free under God to receive him and to be close to him. So therefore, we celebrate the Passover through the Haggadah of how we were freed in a physical sense. But basically, is what my colleague is telling you, that we want to come close to God and we want to feel his presence at this night. And many people even speak of the Elijah, the prophet, who is with us, traveling into the exilic lands where we live as a free people, and he visits us. That means we are very close individually, as my colleague says, how to determine our own life in a free way. But that freedom should not be wasted. It should be under God and with God.
Now, when you spoke of Haggadah, Rabbi, the idea of a narration, a narrative of the Passover, which we could read as we do in the synagogue portions, and in a church we read selections from the book of Exodus especially, and we draw attention to the transition from slavery into freedom, from the land of Egypt, in which the Pharaoh declared that he was a divine origin relating to the sun god, and then coming into the wilderness, no man's land as it were, God gives the covenant and then orients the people toward their own land. That transition is narrated, but in the Passover meal, we not only tell a story, but you have many symbols.
Very true.
And gestures and questions which bring this narrative, this Haggadah, alive, as it were, for the community.
Because to celebrate Passover, we have to celebrate it as acting and receiving the feeling what Passover means to us as free people. And therefore, we celebrate it by musical statements, we sing together, by the way we create symbolic expressions with our items. We define what a matzah is in a special term, and maror, which is a bitter herb, in another term, to understand what we are going through, that we didn't have bread that is baked in and it rises. We had just like cracker breads and things like that, things to enjoy in this play of the night, how we play it out for us. So we are part of that experience of our ancestors, what we mean by freedom. So we have to choose certain actions at the evening of this Passover in order to sense and feel what the freedom was given to us by God. And surely at the end we will celebrate it with a hallel, with singing praise to God, as we all remember from the scripture that they sang the song once they were liberated. And this acknowledgement that is done through families who play the roles of those individuals who left slavery into freedom has tremendous meaning, because it ties all the Jewish people together wherever they are, whether they are living in a free country or whether a country that produces questionable situations for living in their state, because they are not looking at you as the ordinary citizen, and you may have a lot of difficulties, almost that you have to hide from the authorities. That's what the Jews experienced in exile many times. But now we are living in America, which is a free country, and we don't have any problem like in Russia in the past, and sometimes in Russia in the present. The Jews feel the freedom through the actions that we produce this night, especially by playing it out as a family in order to understand what freedom means under God.
Now, this idea of living out the experience through symbols and gestures and questions retelling the narrative of the Passover reminds us in the book of Exodus in chapter 13, the father says to his son, "This is what the Lord did for me when he brought me out of the land of Egypt." And so through this Passover meal, you are reliving in a certain way the experience of the Exodus itself, the experience of liberation into a new dimension of the possibility of serving God, serving neighbor. Now, when you have the unleavened bread that you mentioned, the matzah, and the bitter herbs and the other symbolic food items, you take this occasion to instruct the younger generation concerning the meaning of each of these items on the Passover plate.
It's important to recognize what we're really doing. We are doing something as a response to a God in the past years far away from our century, how they were liberated from slavery into freedom as we see it in the last centuries of our own history in certain countries, and surely in our days. But the freedom of coming out from Egypt came with coming out of Egypt to stand and be with God himself. So this was an event, historical event, where human people experienced not just to free themselves from slavery under the pharaonic rule that existed then, but to enjoy a freedom unto God. And this is why we begin to play the event in our life. We want to taste and be part of that discovery. How do we discover God? How do we see God in our life? And it becomes a drama for a family, not just for individual praying. The whole family is involved. And through this play that we are showing to ourselves what freedom means in the narrative and in the actions that we do this night of Passover, we enjoy it whether we are young or old to understand what freedom God gave us and how we can respect it and be connected with the freedom that comes only from God. And no other person can give that kind of freedom. And that freedom elevates you. So we end the night of Passover after we play it out in a physical sense. What freedom is we play with another instrument in our mind. How do we relate to God in His world? So we sing the holiest song, the Song of Solomon, the Shir HaShirim, where we see how God enters the human life as the God Himself. This is to recognize that now we have a way also to come and be more attached to God's presence in our life and to celebrate it in this beautiful poetry of Shir HaShirim, the Song of Solomon, which describes the fleeting moments how a person feels God's standing within His territory, how He is, I'm wishing and I'm seeking and being to be with Him, and yet we begin to discover this moment that God can be with you and you could sense it in a physical sense. And this gives more sense to me as a child to see that whenever I come out from that slavery to freedom, I'm not just a free man, a free person. I'm free unto God. I want to meet Him, to be with Him, and to share my life under Him. And that's what Passover really does. So we begin with the story, how you remove the slavery from you, human slavery, to be free, and you end the night with Shir HaShirim, the Song of Song, the Song of Solomon, who sang how we relate to God's presence in our life. And I used to sit with my father, not only the Passover meal, which is a long time to see how we be becoming free from physical forces on our life. I used to sit with him after we ate the meal and began to sing with him the Song of Songs and feel the sense that I am now facing God's presence. So the Passover meal is the play, as you could say, how we discover our physical freedom. But as the night proceeds and comes towards the end, we come to the Song of Songs. And we stay the whole night as I did with my father. And I'm doing it today with my grandchildren. How, and my son and daughter, how we can experience that God is always present in our life with the Song of Songs. So we move from a song of liberation to the Song of Songs, how to be with Him. And that is the key to Passover night.
Now, this could be looked at as rooting ourselves. Each generation must be rooted in the past. And so going back to the Exodus, the crossing of the sea, freedom from the threats of Pharaoh's army. All of that is commemorated and remembered vividly. And then in the present, no matter whether people are at a given time historically in a difficult situation of outward oppression, the Passover meal gives an opportunity here and now for each generation, yes, to say that we are living in God's presence, and ideally, from the inner spiritual perspective, we are free from the burdens of human sinfulness and limitations so that we can serve God. And then there's the orientation toward the future, where as you're recalling the experience of meditating on the Song of Songs and reflecting profoundly on God as the spouse, God as the liberating, loving spouse who wants to have His people with Him, you're also looking ahead, right, to the final days.
Right. In other words, we have to taste the matzah and the maror, which is the composition in the physical sense of our life with the food that we eat. And then we want to leave the Seder night with no food in our mouth because we end the meal, and just to sit the last hours, which happened to be in my with my family after midnight. I stay up almost till early in the morning because I want to experience the Song of Songs, which tells you how God walks with you and is in your presence, and how I could feel that presence in my life. And this is so important. Passover is a Passover. You remove yourself from slavery and from the human historical moment into another area of life, which moves you towards God himself. And with this notion, you celebrated it after the Seder. The Seder only becomes a play how we got out of Egypt from slavery to freedom. But when you end it, and most people forget this, to end the night with a Song of Songs and stay and reflect and deal with the issue of his presence, because he ends the Song of Songs that he, Bashamayim, is in heaven, is lifting you. In that way, it's total understanding how we can enjoy the moment of freedom from human slavery to freedom to the human spirituality, and to seek with that spirituality the presence of God who is real to you totally.
So this, of course, is always a family setting. The Passover meal in ancient times, of course, was linked not only to the fact that one had matzah, the unleavened bread, because of the haste with which people left Egypt, but also the lamb, the right. Passover lamb being offered as the centerpiece of the meal, the last meal the people had in Egypt, in which they had marked the doors of their homes with the blood of the lamb. Yes. And then, of course, they were to invite people of goodwill who were around them, wanted to be part of this experience, and these people could flee also from oppression. Now, when we think of the theme of the lamb being offered, and this was linked in the time of this temple, was linked to the offering of sacrifices in the temple.
True.
Now, what significance then the lamb,
yes,
the Passover lamb in that Second Temple period, in the time when they could still offer sacrifice?
That's true. The lamb played a very important role, as you said, in their moment of freedom to come out, and why it's in a simple way to understand. The slaves never had even a taste of meat in the mouth ever, and to enjoy the meals as they the so-called bread that they came had to be baked by the sun. They had to run away with the dough on the back, and the sun created finally flat bread on their backs. So the physical reality of sharing something with the meal of the lamb, and the physical reality of sharing what the matzah was baked on the back, became the very components that define from slavery to freedom. But what I cannot say that they had to continue on their life in the desert to seek him. And they approached this after 49 days with the Shavuot, with Pentecost. So we always link Passover night to 49 days that we count in order to know how we can stand before God and enjoy his presence in our life daily. And that's what we experience now after Passover. Truly, this is a tradition of counting the Omer. We count the days as we're looking forward to the 49th day, which is going to become Shavuot. It's the day when God gave the Ten Commandments to the people who were slaves, who came out to freedom, who had the whole issue of life to seek God, but the Ten Commandments guided them to be able to live people as free under God and connected with one another. So we therefore connect the night of Passover very closely and very strongly to a count. And many people count at the end of the second day of Passover. We celebrate the first the day by the number one. 49 days they will count till they'll reach Shavuot, Pentecost, when we receive the Ten Commandments. So there is a connection, a real connection between the holiday of Passover and the holiday of Pentecost, which comes out to explain to us as the memory of the people of Israel served them, that there is a connection between freedom from slavery and freedom unto God. You have to move from slavery and then enjoy a freedom unto God. You remove it, it's the Passover time. When you give it unto God, that is the Pentecostal day where you say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeticha Be'eretz Mitzrayim, the first commandment, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt.
Now, this brings out very graphically then the insistence in the Jewish tradition that liberation from evil, from oppression, is but the beginning, and then there is the positive goal very of good. The movement as the people wander in the wilderness, as they approach Mount Sinai. They are, as you say, coming to the 50th day after 7 full weeks of sensing dependence on God, as they moved in more in confidence, having faith in God and in Moses after the crossing of the sea, and then when they are introduced to the place of Mount Sinai, God is telling them, you become to me Memlechet Kohenim, Goy Kadosh.
Very good.
You become to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Mm-hmm. And this means the orientation not only of a group of clans, of families and tribes, but now they're becoming a nation destined to have their own land in which they can serve God. And that's where the Decalogue and the other commandments of the Torah,
yes,
of the law of Moses become so important that...
I just want to add to you, that shows that you're moving in spring month to, in this way, from Passover to Pentecost, to complete the situation of your life of freedom, not just from slavery, but freedom unto God. Mm-hmm. And then we move towards the new year, where we want to be under God, and we want to relate to God with even a fast, to act like the angels who don't eat in prayer for that Yom Kippur demands from us.
So the transition of the feasts from one to another, and the fast days are linked in a profound way,
yes,
and the integration of these themes into our lives, of course, I'm sure in the Jewish tradition, as for Christians, every year we can learn something new. We can go more deeply into the realities of all the marvels of what God has for his people. So, Rabbi Finkel, I wish to thank you very much for joining me today for the reflection on the coming feast of Passover. And we wish you and all our listeners Hag Sameach le Pesach.
Amen.